Hey, what's up, y'all? I am so excited to share with you guys about this application called Anchor. I've been on Anchor for about a year. I just hit 1,000 listens, so I'm very excited about that. I don't even know 1,000 people. But all I had to do was go on my App Store or your Google Store, download the application, hit the plus symbol, and you can start recording right from there. You can also go on and edit, and you can make money from this podcast as well. Don't worry. You ain't got to go through all of that crazy stuff like posting it in all these million places. Anchor will do that for you. So it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. All right? And you can earn money, as I said, with no minimum listenership. All right? So all you got to do is download the free application or go to Anchor FM to get started. It's just that easy. Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning. This is another mini episode / bonus episode in the middle of the week. And this comes after a few days of losing Deontay Wright and just kind of processing in my head how this could happen again, even with the awakening that we've had in America in the last year or so. And I wanted to come on here, you know, for the record and, you know, just express my sadness that I have that this happens again to another African-American a man at the hands of the cops who are in the state of Minnesota, who's the same place that Philando Castillo was killed and George Floyd as of recent. And then this is also in the middle of the trial for Derek Chauvin as well. And it's interesting. It's not even interesting. Interesting is not the word, because interesting implies a desire to want more information about the specific situation, but it's simple. You know, it's not even like I want to grasp the idea of what happened. All I know is another African-American man was killed by the hands of cops for a routine. It's not routine anymore. For a traffic stop that was over something petty. Frustrating. And I've also saw in the media some of the connections that were made. Deontay Wright knew Eric Garner, you know, who died 7 years ago. And he also was friends with Philando Castillo. So, you know, the fact that these three men are linked and they were all killed by the hands of cops is a crazy circumstance. I don't want to say coincidence, because coincidence to me is not the correct word for what's happening. Like, this is happening too often, too fast, you know, too much. And it all goes back to Black Lives Mattering, you know? We've seen time and time again where white people have done some wild and crazy shit and still was able to live, walk free, to be able to have what we call, quote-unquote, due process. And, you know, black folks just get killed for just random stuff, you know? It is 100% about race. It is 200% about race. There's no denying this at this point. Our skin is used to weaponize us, you know? And all I want to say is just stop killing us. Stop. You know, we get into the specifics of you know, taser / gun, and, you know, we read into these wild scenarios
that does not even, they don't even fit the crime. They were talking about, the narrative was it was an accidental death. And that the young lady, Kimberly Potter, who they tried to say was a rookie, she's been on the force for 26 years. And it resulted in a situation where she thinks it's her taser and shoots him. It's like, how is that even possible? How is it even possible that that's the case? That that's the situation? That that's the situation? You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, girl. Come on. Like, I would be embarrassed to tell anybody that bullshit. I'd be like, yeah, I would take that L. Because it sounds stupid, you know? For her, for that to be the reason why this young man is dead. You know? And sometimes it's just like, you know, the police chiefs who also resigned from this case, or resigned, she resigned, they arrested her. Charged her with manslaughter, which is a maximum crime, a maximum sentence of 10 years, you know, which may get brought down to 4. And, you know, this man's 20-year-old life was cut short. You know, this his baby's mother is going to be a single parent. You know, this child is going to be a fatherless child, you know, all for her stupidness, all for her, you know, just blatant. I'm sorry, guys, because I'm emotional and I'm trying to find the words to say, because we're talking about this again. We're in the story again. We're in this situation again where, you know, we have to scream from the raptors that our lives matter. And even that, people still want to question that. They want to make it about, you know, something that is not, saying that all lives matter. You know, it's like, it's frustrating. But yeah, this child has to grow up without a father now. This mother has to grow up without, or has to, you know, move on without, you know, her significant other, you know, and to watch him die in that way, that's a whole nother level of tragedy. And I love to see, you know, us band together to take care of our people who are in trauma, you know, because they've gone through a lot. And the demons and things that they're going to have inside of their inside for the rest of their lives, money shouldn't be a situation that they should be concerned about. So we definitely should take care of our people in that way. Because life is hard already. You know, it's going to be a long, drawn out process to get lawyers. You know, and this woman and her child is going to have to continue with life. This mother is also going to have, you know, extensive trauma. And she becomes a part of a group of women who have lost their kids, you know, to name a few. Tamir Rice, Eric Garner, Philando Castillo, Trayvon Martin. And it didn't start with Trayvon Martin, you know what I'm saying? We've been losing black people at the hands of cops for years. It's just now we have an organization and people who are holding them accountable. They used to be able to get away with this stuff before. You know, this qualified immunity makes this stuff so complicated. Because I believe that cops should be held liable for their mistakes that they make. They should be directly responsible for the decisions that they make, for the situations where they make the wrong decision and end up taking someone's life. You know, I was just reading a story about the young lady who was, you know, on the force for 19 years, and they fired her 2 months before she was able to get her pension because she told on the officer to keep him from killing the person who they had apprehended. So, you know, it took us all these years to finally, you know, give her something that was rightfully hers, which it was simple. It was a simple request. You know what I'm saying? It's simple. Like, she should not have deserved to have been fired. And I know I'm getting, you know, getting into, you know, many aspects of it, but this is multifaceted. This is, you know, black trauma on many different levels, that even when we do the right thing, we're still held accountable, or not held accountable. Even when we do the right thing, we're still ridiculed and even at some point fired because of it. This is stuff that's been going on for years, and this is the way that they're able, and I say they, white supremacy, is able to thrive, you know, because of these circumstances. You know, when they lifted the three-fifths of a man, you know, I guess they forgot to tell everybody else to treat us like humans, because it's, you know, it's basic stuff. It's human stuff that we're having to question. Like, why are we debating human rights? This is a human rights issue when it comes to Black Lives Matter. Why are we debating that? You know, why are we debating the idea of people being human, fully human? You know what I'm saying? We shouldn't be. There's no reason for us to have to debate it. But we find ourselves in this same, you know, intersectionality of, you know, Black Lives Matter and, you know, having these conversations about, you know, well, if he complied, or we've seen it where we complied and we still died. We've seen where we didn't comply and we died. We've seen where we ain't even doing nothing. We eating ice cream in our own house and we still died. You know? And the fact that remains is, we have people who yell, due process, due process, due process. And I have to thank Amanda Seals for this, because this is a good point. For these people who didn't give due process to the people that they killed. And we want the law to be played out to the full extent of the letter when these people are put on trial, when that wasn't the case. Because cops are not jury. They're not the judge and jury. So they should not be issuing out life sentences in death because of a routine traffic stop. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is not their job. They are there to protect and serve. Protect and serve us. I'm pretty sure that young man felt that he wasn't going to get out alive, you know, with what was going on, which is probably what caused him to fight. He's seen this time before. His friend, Philando Castillo, was killed. Eric Garner, someone else that he was associated with, was killed. So, yeah, why would he not have a healthy fear of the cops? And then George Floyd died by the same hands a year before. It's like, come on. Why would we not be fearful? So, and, you know, all of this are things that we take in as trauma. You know, as black folks, we hear the ghosts of these people who die. Our ancestors, the ones that were lynched years ago. When we see that stuff, it's traumatic to us. We feel it. It isn't something that we just go through and be like, oh, I'm removed from that. Like, you know, white people can. That stuff is ingrained in us. That's from our parents. That's generational trauma that has come and passed down to us. And what you're seeing is another example of us trying to survive from the slave mentality from years ago. When we're running and we have that fight or flight, that's what happens when master catches us. And we're running around trying to just survive. We get some comfort that we're free, but we always have in the back of our mind, that one day this freedom is going to end. It's at a condition to us. And that's why this is so frustrating. Because we know the same scenario. We know the whole situation. We know what happens. We uplift him. You know, the black community uplifts him. We share videos. We keep the conversation going. The media does their job of trying to, you know, say, well, he will stop because of a traffic violation. He had a air freshener, a fucking air freshener in the damn window. That is an offense, violation in the state of Minnesota. Like, come on, who are these laws for? Why is that an offense? And why are we even picking up anybody for that situation? An expired tag? Okay. Easily. Did you know your tags were expired? No. You need to get it done. Do you know your tags are expired? Yes. Why haven't you gotten them done? Well, DMV, so on and so forth. There's questions to be asked. It's not, do you know your tags are expired and you have this air freshener in your car? You're dead. That's not how that works. There's so many levels to that. It's already escalated because of the trauma that we've had to deal with and we've seen play out time and time again. It's already escalated when you stop a black man. We don't go from 1 to 60 just from the interaction from the cops. We go from 1 to 60 when we're sitting there waiting, trying to figure out what the fuck is going on when they're sitting back in their car looking up whatever they're looking up. And he reacted as a result of that. Because now he's going to get arrested. Because he has a warrant out for his arrest. And we find out that it's over some petty ass bullshit, which I'm going to read you guys something I got from Sean King. Oh, I'm sorry, Tamika Mallory. I'm going to read this fully. Let me tell you what you're looking at. In October of 2019, Deontay Wright, who was a child smoking a single joint of weed, was given a ticket for it. It was a petty misdemeanor. He pled guilty. Then they charged him $75 plus $81 in fees. They put him on a payment plan. It went to collections in the middle of a damn pandemic. So they opened up a warrant in his arrest over a joint he smoked as a child and pled guilty to. In a city that plans to that claims it decriminalized weed. So if anybody asks or anybody tells you he warranted, this is it. Then there was an update to that. And this is a couple days old at this point, guys. So I apologize. I've been processing this shit for a while and I've been, you know, apprehensive about posting it because it's hard for me to sort my feelings out on a situation that has, you know, played out over and over time and time again, not in our favor. So she says there may be a second warrant so that we are properly informed while advocating for justice. I will update you on what I know. However, it has absolutely nothing to do with this horrific situation. This is not a mistake. We are being hunted and murdered because we're black, period. So, yeah, those are the things that are going on here. Those are the things that, you know, the situation that we have. You know, that, and those are the things that we're fighting against. And people still think that it's, you know, Black Lives Matter is some terroristic rhetoric. Come on. They did the same thing with Black Panther. I suggest you guys, if you hadn't had a chance to go see Black Messiah, Judas and the Black Messiah, then you need to go watch it. Because honestly and truly, it is a good damn explanation of what happened to Fred Hammond. So, definitely need to go watch that. It's a very good show. Daniel Kaluuya did an amazing job of acting in there. And that stuff is traumatic, you know. It's traumatic for us to watch as black folks. But the thing is we have so many people in our generation because we've, you know, spent so much trying to survive that don't know that story. We have to tell ourselves those stories. What we don't have to do is to create stories that causes us to, you know, for imagery and for, you know, shock value. Which brings me to my next point. I was watching them and I got no resolution at all watching them because there was no redeeming qualities about what was going on in there. You know, there were specific things that was going on in there, you know, that brought up white supremacy. And then we also had something to do with supernatural entities, which, if you're watching that and you weren't expecting this, spoiler alert. So I recommend if you are interested in watching it, stop now. But there's a specific episode in number five, episode number five, or is it day five or episode five? I can't remember. Where at the first episode, they show Lucky with her son, Chester. And then we fast forward to them moving to Compton and wanting to be ousted by the white, you know, neighbors. They didn't belong there. And you don't see Chester. You don't know what it is. And they hint to it, you know, that his presence is there. Or not that his presence is there, that something happened, but never tell you until episode five, where they show the horrific manner in which he died, in terms of, you know, being, you know, cat in a bag. And they basically just murdered that kid and raped the mother, you know, which is indicative to things that happened back in the day. Those are real stories, you know, real events that actually happened. And nine times out of ten, a lot of those people got away with it, you know? And I say all that to say it didn't have any redeeming qualities about what was going on at all. It never got to a point of resolution for us. And there's so much foreshadowing and all this other stuff that it fails to explain along the way why this stuff is happening the way it is. Until they get to a very specific episode in episode nine about the prelude to what's going on. And it also is a playoff of us. You know, it is in no way, shape, or form remotely close to us. Should not be on the same playing field as us. And I just think that it's unfortunate that, you know, we have to relive these traumas. And then on top of that, we're going to add a super supernatural element. It's not fair, and it's done. And I don't recommend watching it. I got to episode five, saw how the baby was killed, started watching partly of episode six, and then I went straight to 10. So that's my two cents on that. I know they ain't got nothing to do with, you know, the ultimate thing, but it goes to the experience of black folks and how we have to deal with trauma. And then we also have to deal with people overplaying the trauma and expecting us to come out okay. You know, my friend Olivia was saying, and I agree with her, black folks should not have to pay for therapy. They should not have to pay for therapy. You know, as much trauma as we went through, it should be free. And because it's a part of the health process and, you know, money involved and all the other stuff, that'll never happen. So, yeah. So yeah, it's just an unfortunate situation. And then we also got Sharon Osbourne, that whole fucking situation. And I don't really want to, you know, waste too much time because it's so trivial. You know, she left. Supposedly she got 10 million. I don't want to waste my time on her because she is a horrible human being. You know? You know, DMX passed away. I stated on Facebook that I wasn't a huge DMX fan. You know, I only knew a few songs. But I can't deny the influence he's had on the black community, the black culture, and just hip-hop in general. I was listening to Amanda Seales tell the story about when she met DMX for an interview she did when she worked at Sirius XM, and it was a great interview. And you know, it was interesting that even then he felt the oppression of being black while driving, even though, you know, his license was suspended or he didn't have his license or whatever, he was driving, whatever, like, he felt the oppression. And it's interesting that even then, you know, and obviously we know that this stuff has happened, so it's not a surprise, but, you know, to talk about it, it wasn't as spoken about back then, you know. So to hear him talk about it, you know, verbalize it out loud, you know, just is indicative of the times that we experience as black folks still in America, you know. And there's no way around it. Even with him being a star, he still felt it, you know. But yeah, you know, he was definitely hip-hop royalty. You know, sometimes I wish that I had been more into his music. But I think that, you know, from what his experience was not my experience. And I think that was a reason why I didn't really get into it. I wasn't too heavy into that experience too much because, you know, it was coming from a perspective of, you know, black men, you know, from New York, you know, having trauma, you know, signs of stress and all that other stuff. And I just didn't identify that. I didn't identify with that until I never identified that with that when he was coming out. And by the time, you know, I really started to take a listen to his music, he had stopped. He hadn't had consistent albums. So, but, you know, nonetheless, can't deny his catalog and how it makes people feel about, you know, him on this earth, you know, some of the things that he went through. It has definitely been a telling story. It really has. It's unfortunate and sad, and you know, Amanda Seale said something earlier, and I put a post out a couple about last week when he passed away, when I was saying something in terms of and I don't remember the specifics, but in terms of like the people around him, you know, not really, you know, being there and what they should have done. It sounded definitely a lot more accusatory towards the people that were around him. And I think that, you know, one of the things that she said is, you know, addiction, you know, has a tendency to affect people obviously differently. And, you know, the fact that, you know, it wasn't him being flippant or the people around him not wanting to help. It's just that he had so much pain inside of him that the only way that he could deal with it is through, you know, the drugs. And the drugs eventually became addiction, and, you know, it was used to cope and, you know, used to cope and keep him from feeling the depression that he had. And, you know, unfortunately, it was just an unfortunate circumstance where he was not able to shake it. You know what I'm saying? So, I digress on my, you know, my tone, and I apologize for anybody that was offended by that. But, you know, I you know, do understand that, addiction is a serious thing and it's not, you know, to be taken lightly. And I apologize for my naivety towards the topic. So I'll make sure that I retract that on Facebook, or just back it up in terms of, you know, saying it again. But yeah, I just felt it necessary. And you guys are hearing all the wind. I'm actually driving out to Lake Nona so I can get my second dose of the vaccine, which I heard is supposed to do you in, and that scares me a bit, but we're going to be all right. So, but yeah, it's just been an eventful week reeling off of what's going on. And we are also able to see, you know, the video, and it's just unfortunate. And then, oh yeah, that was something else that I wanted to talk about too. The Afro Latino service member who was stopped, Caron Nazario. It might, you know what? Caron Nazario was the one that had the affiliation to Eric Garner, not Deontay. So my apologies for that correction. It was Carion Nazario, Caron. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I'm not sure the pronunciation, but he was pulled over in Virginia while he was in uniform, and he was threatened to be tased, but ultimately pepper sprayed for no reason. And it was escalated. And then on top of that, the the cop, Joe Gutierrez, is a Hispanic male. He didn't know he was black. He didn't know that he was Spanish. But he's also a veteran. Joe Gutierrez is also a veteran. He said that in the clip. So what? They ultimately fired him. And yeah, he should be brought up on charges. Like, driving while black. You know what I'm saying? Just complied. He's saying that he's afraid, you know? And nothing happens. This is what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. You know, this is a man who served his country. You know, serving his country. Willingly. You know, for that to happen, that's on some bullshit. There ain't no explanation behind that bullshit other than just bullshit. There ain't no other conversation to be had or nothing like that. Because we all know it's stupid. You know, there's no way to excuse it. And the police chief in Virginia said that he's not owed an apology. Considering your guy, you know, was fired, there ain't no apology. And come to find out it was over some bullshit, some non-arrestable offense. Like, come on. What are we talking about here? And I don't believe that these people misspeak. I believe that they really just say that shit because they honestly and truly believe in it. They believe in what they say. You know what I'm saying? And they're genuinely surprised that they are being called out about it. Like, oh my God, why would they? Because you said some fuck shit. You said some dumb shit about him not being apologized to. Now you got a lawsuit on your hands, which is more than likely going to go this young man's way. It's like, you know. And then Jeremy Pentland. I think his name is Jeremy. This has been coming through the woodworks here in the last 24 hours. I wasn't aware of it. You know, Sergeant Pentland, you know, who's a drill sergeant. Jonathan Pentland. Black Lives protesters rally outside of his home after viral video. Like, these videos go viral quick. Why? Because we know that these things are atrocious and that they're happening. They're a reminder every day that they happen. You know, and the unmitigated gall of these folks is that be out there doing these offenses. I believe that they'd be really surprised that they get in trouble for doing what they do. And you can tell, you can see that they're wielding the power of the police in their hands when they say the stuff that they're saying. You'll see when the cops get here. It's like, you ain't even calling the cops on some real shit. And yet you still believe that the cops is going to come out here and be on your side. We saw that with the Chinese couple, or Asian couple a few weeks ago, where they called the cops on a black tenant. And, you know, they said some stuff talking about they gonna say that they were being assaulted. And, you know, the police officers came out there and literally just laughed at them. And you hear the offended party laughing. It's like, that shit's not funny, man. Like, come on. Like, you don't understand how traumatizing this really is. And that's how people get killed, you know. That's how folks get killed in these situations. I wouldn't have found it funny at all. And, yeah, I would also be suing their asses, too. So, it's crazy. It's a lot going on. This was supposed to be a short episode, but I think that I'm going to end up making this a full-on episode because this has gone on longer than what I expected. And, you know, I mean, I wanted it to flow and say what I needed to say and not feel restricted. And, you know, this has turned in the episode for this week. And I am going to go on Facebook Live later and, you know, express my thoughts too and maybe continue the conversation as well there. So, again, guys, I appreciate everything that has been given. The last mini episode has been doing great. Thank you guys for everybody who's downloaded it and actually listened to it and, you know, doing your thing. You know, seeing people go in and actually listen to it and download it and, you know, see those numbers go up that fast, it lets me know that you guys crave the narrative, and I appreciate that. And I am definitely going to do better in terms of my recording schedule. And if I do decide to take a hiatus, I will let you guys know. All right. But you guys know where to find me, RL Socorro Garner, on Instagram, RL Socorro Garner on Facebook, Reggie's underscore expressions. There's a S at the end of Reggie, REGGEE underscore expressions, S at the end of expressions, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook under that handle. You can just catch me up on Anchor too, Anchor FM. You know, go back and listen to all the other episodes, you know, as well. And I appreciate you guys for listening to my perspective. Thank you so much, as it means a lot to me. And I grow into this space and I become more comfortable in my own skin and being able to express myself in a way that is palatable for everybody. So I appreciate you. All right. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. I'm almost out here at the Lake of the Eolus. Not Lake Eolus, sorry. I'm out here at Lake Nona. And oh wow, it's a pink tree. Huh, how'd that happen? And enjoy the rest of your day. I pray for healing for all of us. You know, pray to your God, your universe, whatever you pray to, and hopefully we can find some justice in these situations that are happening. You know, we can bring these people to justice, and you know, justice happens swiftly, all right? Because it's definitely traumatizing. All right, guys. Well, enjoy the rest of your day. Stay black. Stay strong. Stay up. Stay positive. Do whatever you got to do to protect your peace. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day.